Welcome to another life-changing message from Pastor Vernell J.R. Samuel of Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Thank you, Jesus. And before you take your seats, I want you to give Jesus one more big round of applause. Come on, let's celebrate Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. One more time, say hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout glory. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. All right, you may have your seats. You may have your seats. Thank you, everyone. Amen. Welcome to Hungry for God Church. Welcome to Hungry for God Church. Anybody came expecting a true ghost story? Come on, the kids are ready. I don't know about these grown-ups. Hallelujah. Out of the mouths of babes shall come perfected praise. Also, last Thursday, I was sent out on a mission, and I preached at a church that we connect, that I partnered up with, called Enhanced Church in New Jersey. We had an awesome time. Thank you guys that came out and those who prayed. It was amazing. We were asked after to come back to do a revival because the pastor said that was the most powerful service he ever been in. He said, literally, that his church was in. I finished preaching at 9:30, but we didn't get out till 11:30. Because after the word, you know, God showed up. He began to move. And he began to intercede for people and prophesy and all that stuff. And it was so powerful. We had some of the band that was able to go with us. So we were able to release the sound there. Literally what the Lord prophesied in this house 2 weeks ago. That I was going to go out and begin to minister. And I would take the band with me to release the sound. We were able to do that in just 2 weeks. And so, like I said, he said he wanted us to come back to do a revival there real soon. And we're looking forward for the fellowship because it's so important for you to recognize, as great as what God is doing here at Hungry for God, it's important that you know what God is doing in other churches because God is bigger than your church. And any church that makes you, that prevents you from going out to other churches, get away from them, because that's a cult. If a pastor or a leader says, don't go visit any churches, only stay here, that's a cult. Because the church of Jesus Christ is a body that's expansive all across the world. And what God is doing here, somebody else. And so it's foolishness to believe that you don't have to visit other ministries and be able to partake of what God is doing in other houses. And so I'm excited about the alignment that God is going to start doing, that he's going to allow us to connect with other houses and other ministries. And we're going to be able to participate in a move of God that goes beyond denominations, that goes beyond races. We're going to be partnering with people that don't look like us, church. We're going to be connected to Asians. We're going to be connected to Caucasians. Come on. We're going to be connected to the bigger picture of God. Amen. All races, all colors. Come on, all ethnicities. The kingdom of God is international. So we're laying all our prejudices and biases down as God opens up doors for us to establish, to be able to plant the heavens in different places. We're going to be going there. So I'm excited about that. So great things to come. Look at somebody next to you and say, great things are on the way. Yeah, I'm excited about that. And before I get in the word, anybody has a testimony, a true ghost story about what God has done in their lives within the past week? Anyone? No testimonies? One? All right, cool. So let's get ready to get into the word. I want you guys to get your notepad, your paper ready, because if you have no testimony, that means you haven't been practicing. So it's more to learn. You should come here with a testimony every week if you're putting into practice the stuff you're learning. All right? So let's start somewhere. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Hallelujah. John chapter 3. Last week, we taught on the names of the Holy Spirit. How many of you were here for that? How many of you were here for that? We taught on the names of the Holy Spirit. Who can just shout out to me what were some of the names of the Holy Ghost? Comforter, helper, advocate, legal advisor, yep. Para, the Parakletos, right? The Greek name for helper and we were talking about John chapter 14 when Jesus told his disciples that I'm about to leave, but I'm going to send you another comforter. The word comforter or helper there in the Greek was Parakletos, which actually the word picture of that time was that a Parakletos was a legal advisor, one who helps us make the right decisions in situations. And so the Holy Spirit is our legal advisor. So I believe that we help set a new reference point because we began to see that the Holy Spirit is a person, right? And he should be related to as such. And that we have to begin to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because in order for you to know Jesus, you have to know the Holy Spirit. If you call yourself a Christian, it means that you are a recipient of the same Spirit that made Jesus the Christ. When you say you're a Christian or a Christian, it means that you are a little Christ. Why? Because the same Spirit that was on the Christ is now on the inside of you. As a matter of fact, before I go to John 3, just jump back to John 14 with me, where we ended off last week, John 14, verse 17. John 14, 17. Bible says, verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So I want you to just realize something here, that Jesus was telling his disciples, his 12 disciples, before he left, that the Holy Spirit was going to be given to them, but he also told them that they already know him. They already know him. Why? Because in the 3 years that they walked with Jesus on the earth, by working with him, they got to know him. And it's important that you recognize this. Jesus had to tell them that they knew him, although they possibly at the time didn't realize they already did. Because they didn't see him with their physical eyes. The Holy Spirit is a person we don't see. And what I've learned is that he is more interested in being in us than he is for us to see him. He wants to be in you more than he desires for you to see him. Now, he said you already know him because you've seen his ways. You've seen how he moves. Now, this might sound to do with by partnering with the Holy Spirit. Now, this might sound like an abstract, deep thought for some of you, but the way Jesus broke it down for us is, if we go back to John 3, we won't turn to it, I'll just tell you. There was a man named Nicodemus, and Jesus told him that if you want to know the kingdom of God, you must be born again. And so Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? Can he go back into his mom's womb? Jesus said, no. In other words, that's dumb, what you just said. But this is how it works. Let me turn to it so you can see it. John 3. John 3. Look at verse 3. Jesus replied, "Verily I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "They cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Verily I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit," capital S. No one can enter into the realm and the reality of the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. So in order for you to be born of the Spirit, you need to receive the Spirit, and he will make you be born again. So that means you're not born again just by following Jesus. You're not born again just because you joined a church. To be born again, it requires an encounter and an experience with the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus told the disciples, "The Spirit of truth will come. And when he comes, you already know him, but he will be in you." Which means that they had a measure of relationship with the Holy Spirit, but they were not born again. Because in order for them to have been born again, Jesus had to die, be raised from the dead, and give up his ghost and send the Holy Spirit. So after he goes, you will now receive the Spirit and be born again. Which means that the works that the disciples were able to do, it wasn't that they were born again. It was because Jesus, who had the Spirit of God on him, was able to impart or transfer, you can say lend, some of that anointing that was on him to them so that they can go and do the same work until you, as he was there. But that's why he told them in Acts 1, don't go and preach until you receive the Holy Spirit for yourself. Because what you were able to do was only the residue of hanging out with me. It's just like if you get around a strong prophet, you can start prophesying because of the anointing that's on that prophet's life. That's why, like, in an atmosphere of worship in our church, some of you will start prophesying. But if I meet you at home and ask you to prophesy to somebody, you can't. Because you're in an atmosphere in which the Spirit of God is at work. But you can't depend on somebody else's anointing. You need to have your own. So Jesus said, you know the Spirit because you were hanging out with me. But he will be in you after I go. Come on. That's what we want to desire. So I want to be born again. I want to be born of the Spirit. Come on. Now watch this. I want you to know something. Jesus is teaching about realms of reality here. Because how many of you know that before you came onto this planet, before you were born naturally, you were inside your mother's womb? How many of you remember being in your mother's womb? Do you remember that? Anybody remember that? No, right? Now, you were born once. That's why he says you got to be born again, right? You were born once. Now, after you entered into this world and you experienced the reality of this planet, how many of you would rather be in your mother's womb than be on this planet today? You'd rather be inside your mother's womb. Some of you are actually thinking about it. That's sad. It's safe inside your mother's womb, right? You don't got to get a job. You don't got to pay bills. Free food, right? It's a lot. There's some benefits to staying inside your mother's womb. but you're extremely rare. You can't go anywhere. You can't move. You're stuck. Guess we'll swim a little bit. That's why at 9 months or 10 months, you are ready to get out of there. I'm hearing all these noises out there. All I see is dark. Right? It's limited. You see this whole big world after you get out the womb. You don't want to go back inside there. But here's the deal. Jesus says there is another birth that's called being born again of this kingdom or born of the Spirit. And he's letting you see that this world that we live in right now is a reality or a realm that's greater than that. And just like this world is greater than the realm of your mother's womb, the kingdom of God is a realm that's greater than this planet and greater than this world that we live in. And when you taste and see and you experience the reality of the kingdom, you don't want this world anymore. Just like you don't want to go back into your mother's womb. Come on. Now, Jesus says, if you want this realm, you got to be born again. Now, I want to show you something. If you're born of the Spirit, verse 7. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. Verse 8. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Now, here's what I was just mentioning about being in us and not having to be seen. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is like wind. You don't see the wind, but you can experience the effects of wind. Come on. You don't see wind, but you see it rustling through the trees. You see the leaves swinging and swaying. You can experience the wind without seeing it. And he says, anyone who begins to enter into a lifestyle of the Holy Spirit must learn how to live in this wind lifestyle where you don't necessarily see him, but you can feel him. You can sense him. I believe one of the greatest deficits in the church today is our ignorance to the ways of the Spirit. We don't know the sound. We don't know the wind. We don't know the moves. And so when the Spirit of God wants to move in our lives and do something supernatural in us, we can't even discern between good and evil. We can't discern when it's God or when it's the devil. We can't discern when it's an opportunity or a setback. We can't discern when it is the enemy or when it's God trying to do something in us for our good. And so we start blaming God for the stuff that the devil is doing, and we start blaming the devil for what the stuff God is doing in our lives. Because we have not been mature in our senses to perceive and to discern the ways of the kingdom. That's why I always say, look at that. Jesus was asleep on a boat and it was a storm. I love that story. And the disciples and the apostles were crying, telling Jesus, don't you care we're about to die? While Jesus was sleeping in the same storm. That's why you could have two people in the same situations and two different perspectives. Because one person is aware of another reality while the other person is stuck in the reality of the world they're in. And then Jesus is woken up out of his sleep and rebukes the disciples. Why are you of little faith? Because Jesus is saying, I've been teaching you and training you for moments like this. Some of you are waking Jesus up and trying to call on Jesus to do stuff he already gave you the authority and the power to handle. Jesus, I'm asleep now. It's your turn. Watch this. Watch this. Jesus, after rebukes the disciples, he said, where is your faith? Releases peace into the storm. Which means that he was aware. You can only release something that you're aware of. He was able to bring peace in this volatile storm because he was more aware of the peace he had access to than the reality of the problems he was facing. If your problems are more real to you than the peace God has made available to you, your problems will always overpower you. If your problems are more real to you than the peace God has made available to you, then your problems will always overpower you. And if you're not acquainted to the power from on high, the spirit from above that God said you'll be born again of, that means the stuff that heaven is made of, you will be made of. If you're aware of the reality of the kingdom of God, the Bible then says you have the ability to release that presence, release that peace into this world. It doesn't, you know, faith doesn't mean that there will be no more problems, right? Right? I hope you understand that. Being a Christian doesn't mean there's no more problems to deal with. You may get more. Enlarge my territory. Right? But here's the deal. God will never lead you into a storm that you are not equipped to face. Come on. So when you understand the God you serve, he's the helper, right? Not the doer. David killed the Goliath with the help of God. But David did the slaying. You got to learn how to slay some things. You got to learn how to pick up your stones. You got to learn that God is not doing everything for you. He's equipping you. He's empowering you. He's enabling you to get out of debt. Come on. He's empowering you on what to do, but then you got to actually do it. Do the work. Say, I'm ready to do the work. This is why you got to learn to take responsibility and stop blaming God for stuff. I'm sick of hearing people saying that. If God is good, then why didn't he do X, Y, and Z? Because he gave humanity a planet to be responsible for. He gave us the planet and said, you have authority. You have dominion over it. So don't look to blame God. It's time to take responsibility. So here it is. Jesus said, I'm not leaving you powerless, though. I'm giving you the power to do the works that I did and greater works than these. So here's the difference. This is what I'm about to tell you. I want you to catch this. I don't know if y'all ready for this. Now, this is how you begin to mature in what Paul writes about called walking in the Spirit. How to live in the Spirit. Because away are the days when we just simply interact with the Holy Spirit when we're in church services. You got to learn how to walk in the Spirit Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then Sunday is just a collision of sorts. When we come back, like I said, where are your testimonies? It's because you're not practicing what the Spirit has put in you to give away to others. Remember, the anointing is given to you so that you can give it away. Anything that heaven gives you, it does not rest or remain just for you. Heaven blesses you so that you can be a what? A blessing. And once you make your life all about you, then what begins to happen is the anointing God puts in you begins to leak out of you. John chapter 1. Look at John chapter 1. I want to show you something profound about the Holy Spirit. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
John chapter 1, verse 32. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove. Everybody say, like a dove. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove on him, on Jesus. Next verse, verse 33. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. I want you to highlight that if you can. Put an underline right there. Do something to remember that. Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. That is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit descending was nothing new in the Scriptures. Because all throughout the Old Testament, the Bible talks about how the Spirit of the Lord will come upon people and they will do great exploits. All throughout the Old Testament, all the prophets. And unusual, extraordinary things happened when these ordinary people got, when the Holy Spirit rested upon these ordinary people. They began to speak and things began to happen. They began to do things and miraculous things began to happen. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, and Samson was able to kill thousands of people all at once. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David and he began to play music and it was able to cast out an evil spirit. The Spirit of the Lord came upon the prophets and they began to prophesy and became another man. So we see all throughout the Old Testament the Spirit of God coming upon people. But what happened? He never remained. The Holy Spirit would come upon people and then he would lift and he would go back. But there was a change in the New Testament. Because the anointed one, Jesus, the Bible says that when he was baptized, the Spirit descended and then it remained on him. If I had time, I'll show you. The first reference of the dove we see in Scripture is found all the way back in Genesis. Remember, the Bible says the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. Who remembers in Genesis chapter 8, the story of Noah? And when Noah built an ark, the Bible says that when the rains ended, there was a flood on the earth. And then the Bible says that Noah sent out two birds from the ark to see if the waters descended, the waters rescinded. First, he sent out a raven. And then the Bible says he sent out a dove. So when the Bible says that when the dove was sent out, they said Noah sent out a dove from him. And as it went out, it came back to him two times. And the Bible says that the dove was waiting for a place to rest. Was looking for a place to rest her feet. And so after it saw no place to rest, it came back. Then the Bible says it came back with an olive branch in its mouth. Why an olive branch? We know that the olive represents peace. But it's also where we form oil or anointing from. So the olive was in the dove's mouth, the anointing in its mouth. The dove comes back and shows Noah there is some dry land. And then, watch this. The Bible says that Noah sent the dove back out, and it never came back. Dove represents the Holy Spirit in Scripture. So when the dove was sent out, it never returned. And I believe what we see happen when Jesus was baptized in water, when he got up out the water, we see a dove then come and remain upon Jesus. Why? Because the dove was looking for rest. It was not going to be able to rest anywhere else but on the one whom the Father was going to send. When the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and the dove remained upon him, it was an indication that rest has come. On the earth, rest. It wasn't just rest because there was no more water. The floods was gone. No, the rest was going to be found in a person. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened. And what? I will give you what? Rest. Come on, say, I need rest. Jesus said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what was Jesus' burden? What was what he was carrying? What was the burden? I want to tell you what the burden is. What was resting on Jesus? What came upon Jesus to remain there? The Spirit. You want to know what you have the burden of doing for the rest of your life in Christ? The responsibility of hosting the presence of God, the Spirit of God on your life. That's your burden. That's your responsibility. Learning how to steward, walk with, carry, host the Spirit of God, just like Jesus did. Now I'm going to give you a little picture. Let me see that pillow. Now watch this. Jesus comes. Forgive me, but this is going to be a dove. Doves are white, but you're going to use this. Can I have a volunteer? One volunteer. All right, Portia. So watch this. So you stand right there. Stand there. You're Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes, and the Bible says he descended, and then he remained. Jesus. And John said, the Father told him, the one whom you see the Spirit remain on is the one, the Messiah. John saw it happen with Jesus. The dove came and rested on Jesus. Now, Portia, I want you to try to walk with the dove on your shoulder. All right, try again. Yes. However you, whatever you need to do. Wait, no hand. All right. Good, good. All right. Now Portia's walking with the Spirit. She said, all right, come back this way. All right. Portia's carrying the dove. Now, Portia, I want you to walk a little faster. All right. Come on, in the heels. Come on. A little faster. All right. Now, watch this. Every dove, every step that Portia took, she had to remain aware of what she was carrying. When she tried to run, it fell. She's going to try to walk again, however you did it last time. But you see how she has to start off slow? She has to be mindful of what she's carrying. You see, most of us live erratic, impulsive lives. So we never take time to be aware of what we're carrying. So like Jesus said, you can't release what you're not aware of. If you are not mindful of the fact that you have the Spirit in you, that you have peace in you, that you have the presence and power of God in you, you're not going to know that you have the power to lay hands on the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out devils, because you're more aware of yourself than you are of the dove that wants to remain on you every day of your life. And then say the Spirit came on him when he had to preach. The Spirit didn't just come upon him for ministry. The Spirit was upon him for a lifestyle. So Jesus said, I can only do what I see the Father doing first. He learned how to host. Thank you, Portia. He learned how to host the presence of God. Who wants to catch a dove? Come on. Come on, Nick got it. Hallelujah. But can you see that? One of the things you have to develop in this season is your sensitivity to the dove, to the presence of God. If he says the anointing is in you, if he says that the Spirit is in you, the same Spirit that rose Christ up from the dead now lives in you, it's not the fact that you don't have him. The question is, how aware are you of who you have in you? Sudden flesh movements will cause us to cause a dove to leave our awareness. Watch this. Who knows the difference between doves and pigeons? I'm talking about the street pigeons you see. How many doves do you see out there on the street? Why? Do you know doves and pigeons are literally the same birds? They're the same species. But the white dove that we know is very sensitive to noise. You won't ever find a dove in New York City streets. It's too loud. It's too much noise. While the street pigeons, they can stay out there, cars honking, cars running. But there's a difference. The dove is a bird of peace. That's why you have to, when you partner with God and learn how to walk in the Spirit, the framework of the way you live the rest of your life has to change. Jesus said, I'm gentle, I'm lowly in heart. The way Jesus lived his life was that he lived his life not just getting up and just starting his day and doing whatever he wanted. He took time to be aware of who he was carrying. That's why there were times when Jesus was in the middle of a revival. People are being saved. People are being healed. People are being delivered. And then Jesus would go back and be in secret, being quiet. Why? Because I believe he wanted to make sure that he remained in tune. with the spirit that he was carrying. It's very easy for us to just get so busy and so caught up with life itself that we lose our awareness of the dove. And remember, where there's too much noise, he won't remain. That's why I'm telling you, you're going to have to learn. If you want to learn how to walk in the Spirit, you're going to have to learn how to quiet yourself down. That's why Jesus tells us, go into your secret place. Learn how to get quiet. And learn how to tune in to the one you're carrying. This is where your power is coming from. This is where your peace is coming from. Peace is not the absence of problems. It's the presence of a person. When you understand, Jesus said, I'm the Prince of Peace. But he also gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is the person of peace. That's why you can have peace in a storm. It's not the problems. It's the presence of God. And God is not a presence. He's a person with a presence. So when you invite the person, his presence saturates any environment, any atmosphere he's in. God wants to teach us. Come on, hungry for God. I'm prophesying to you now. God wants to teach us the awareness of his presence so that we can carry his presence into every situation we're going through. That we know that we have access to the great I am. We have access to the power from on high. We have access to the miracle working power. We know we have access to the dead raising power. We know we have access to the same power that was able to multiply food. The same power that was God to turn ordinary men into extraordinary people. God says, you have me on the inside of you. All you got to do is learn to become aware of me. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 10, he said, when you go into a home, I want you to say peace unto this house. And he says, when your peace goes, wherever your peace goes, whoever's worthy to receive that peace, it will remain. But whoever rejects or resists your peace will return back to you. Peace is more than just hi or some salutations or saying shalom. He's saying you got to be aware that you actually have the power to release the person of peace into people's lives. Into your home, into families. And the people who are stiff-necked and are hardened in heart, they won't receive the peace. It will come right back to you. But the people who want peace, they will open up their hearts and receive him. The people who want the Spirit won't resist him. I'm going to close right there. Luke 10, turn with me there. Hallelujah. Luke 10. Hallelujah. Verse 3. Jesus says, go your way. I'm going to go to verse 1. I'm going to wrap up here. Verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Verse 3, go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bags, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. So the Bible says, when he's ready to release peace into your life, you must match the environment that peace will remain. When Jesus wants to send the Holy Spirit to comfort you, you cannot be in a state of anxiety. You cannot be in a state of being so overwhelmed by your situations that you can't hear what the Spirit has to say. You ever been there? People try to talk to you, but you're just so caught up in your emotions and so caught up in what's going on that you can't even hear what anybody else has to say. Right? And so Jesus said, you have to be at peace in order for the Spirit of peace to come upon you. Noah was chosen to be able to build the ark because Noah had a state within him that was conducive for the Spirit of God to use him. So that means you can prepare yourself for the Spirit of God without the Spirit of God being in you. People who love drama, have to choose to stop loving drama and desire something else, something new. You have to want to live in a state of peace so the Spirit of peace can come to you. You have to want this so that God can give it to you. See, if you don't want this kind of lifestyle of the Spirit, remember, the Spirit of God, let me tell you what a dove is like. A dove is sensitive, right? Sensitive to noise. You want to know something else about a dove? The dove is the most gentle bird out there. It's not like a raven. It's not like an eagle. Doves are defenseless. Doves, if doves are being attacked or abused, it won't fight back. It would just cry. That's why it talks about doves crying a lot. A dove would not retaliate. A dove would just cry until it dies. How can Jesus say the Holy Spirit is like a dove if he's so powerful? Because as powerful as he is, as powerful as the Holy Spirit is, he will not force himself on you. You just have to simply want him to remain on you. I said, you got to want him to remain on you. If you don't want the Spirit, he will leave. Although he's the most powerful force in the universe, the power from on high, he's gentle. Peace is a double-edged sword. Because for you, it is the most gentle, comforting, soothing power there is. But for the enemy, it is the most destructive force there is. For the Bible says, it is the God of peace who will crush Satan's head. When Jesus said, release peace into a home, and a person is ready to receive it, watch this. He said, the peace will come to the house. Verse 7, and remain in the same house. You will be able to eat and drink as they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Verse 8, and whenever you enter into a town and they receive you, by receiving the peace you offer, eat what is set before you, heal the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter into a town and they do not receive you, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we're going to wipe it off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. What's the point? Jesus said, wherever the peace goes, you have the ability to go and bring the kingdom there. But you cannot release something that you yourself are not aware of. You have to know you got the peace of God on your side to be able to release that thing. You got to know that you're carrying something that the rest of the world cannot experience. Come on. You got to realize you're not average. You have to realize you're not like everybody else. You have to realize that you are set apart by God because His Spirit is in you now. I said, you're not like everybody else. Once you've been born again. And you're going to go to homes. And homes will be changed. Homes will be transformed. I release this peace to you now. That this destructive force called peace is going to begin to destroy what the enemy tried to build in your home. And if there's any area in your life you once partnered with those forces that are contrary to the spirit and the nature of the of peace, we let that thing go today. The peace that passes all understanding is going to guard your heart and mind. But you got to be aware of the Spirit, right? Notice, if you want the peace that passes all understanding, you have to lose the right to understand. And you just simply have to learn to rest in what's resting on you. You have to learn how to rest in what's resting on you. Come on, say, I have peace that passes all understanding on the inside of me. I got peace that passes all of my understanding resting on me right now. I have peace that passes all understanding resting on me right now. Come on. And that peace heals. That peace saves. That peace protects. That peace guards. That peace delivers. Come on, I release peace, an increase, an intensity of that peace to be upon you now in the name of Jesus. That in all of your endeavors, peace is going to go before you. In all that you set your hands to do, peace is going to be upon it. That everywhere you go, in the north, the south, the east, and the west, peace is on you. Come on, receive the peace. Come on, receive the peace. Receive the peace. Receive the peace. Receive the peace. Hallelujah. Woo! Come on. Come on, I declare the peace of God is now surrounding everything that was surrounding you. Come on. You're now raising up boldness in your spirit now. There's a new boldness coming upon you. Come on, there's a new boldness, a new strength coming upon you in this season. As you learn how to host the presence of God, the presence of peace. Let's all stand. Come on. I want you to take 40 seconds. And I just want you to bless the Lord for His peace. Come on. God is causing everything in your life that was bringing chaos and confusion to come to an end. As you open up your hearts and receive, the Spirit of God wants to rest and remain on you. Come on, Jesus has shed His blood so that you can be the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Jesus shed His blood so that peace can be upon you. Between you and God, there is peace. The devil cannot enter into your dwelling place because peace is there. Come on, peace is there. Peace is there. Peace is there. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, the blood of Jesus has brought peace to every one of our homes. When I see the blood, I will pass over. I will pass over. Whoa, come on, God wants to increase your sensitivity in your heart to the Holy Spirit.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.